Hello, beautiful people. Welcome back to the Amy Rushworth Show. As always, I am pumped to share this episode with you. We're going to talk about 10 sneaky reasons you might not be sharing your fullest expression online. Let's dive right in. Number one, you don't want to contradict yourself later. An example of this might be, say you have this desire to share a bold opinion online or to do a controversial or edgy podcast on a topic that you're really passionate about. Maybe it's something that's a bit, you know, polarizing. You're talking about it with your friends, people you trust behind closed doors, but there's that extra level of edginess when it comes to putting it out on the internet and sharing it with all the internet people. And maybe you worry, hey, what if I share this? And if in 5 years it's politically incorrect to say that, will I get in trouble? Will I get canceled or put in the naughty corner? Or maybe you're just someone who is always evolving, and so your opinions do change over time. Your principles, your beliefs, they evolve with you on your journey. And so you get in your head or you get a bit perfectionistic about it and you don't want to share it unless you feel really, really rock solid in the fact that, hey, this opinion or this belief is never going to change. Now, I want to tell you why this is problematic for your self-expression and why it stops you from being in this journey of evolution and also growing as a person, growing as an entrepreneur, and helping people at all stages of that maturation and that growth journey. So if you're someone who really values authenticity, let's say authenticity is one of your most treasured, sacred values. The thing with people who are authentic, people who are committed to authenticity, is that they are going to contradict themselves all the time. And when you're putting out social media content or short form content, you can't always capture the full nuance of your opinion, right? Life is complex and our opinions can also be complex. Sometimes you have an opinion on something and it applies in one situation, but it doesn't apply as a blanket statement for the rest of time. Now, if you're on this journey of growth and constantly looking and asking yourself, how can I live a more authentic life? Your beliefs and how you see the world is always going to be evolving with you. And so there will be contradictions. We also inherently contradict ourselves as human beings all the time. No one has this perfect way of being where they never contradict themselves. So it shouldn't be a reason to not put your voice out there, but I totally get why that, the fear around contradicting yourself can stop you from using your voice, especially in the culture that we're in nowadays where people are very quick to call each other out online and to point out all the things you're doing wrong. Or, you know, you also see these situations where people pull up tweets or Facebook posts from celebrities that they wrote like 20 years ago. And obviously they have matured. Maybe they don't feel the same way. And then they get totally bombarded or trashed for sharing that thing many eons ago. So of course, there should be accountability in our world if we say things that are really harmful or just designed to trigger other people. Like, I don't think that's the vibe. But if you are on this journey of wanting to have a more authentic voice, to have an impact in your most authentic way, I think you have to get to a place where you're at peace, knowing my beliefs might change. And maybe the things that I'm sharing now are different to the things that I used to share. But also being at peace with the fact that your beliefs, your opinions, even if they change, they can be helping people. And there will be people who are agreeing with your perspectives at every single stage of the journey. So in my opinion, it's better not to hold back and to just allow yourself to be a bit of a contradiction, like we all are. Number two, you are trying to include everyone in everything you say. So maybe you're adding 1,000 caveats to everything you say, or you're watering down the language. You're not actually saying things how you would authentically, genuinely say them with someone who unconditionally loved you or someone you felt really safe with. So one of the things that I try and feel into when I'm writing stuff online or I'm sharing this podcast is how would I say this to one of my best mates? And the reason I do that is because if I think of my best mates or my husband, I'm not speaking to them with this voice in the back of my head, like, are they going to misunderstand this? Are they going to twist my words? I am speaking with this energy of knowing that they're going to give me the benefit of the doubt. If I say something they don't get, they're going to give me the benefit of the doubt or trust that I had positive intentions or ask for clarity rather than try and put my head on a stake or look for all the things that they're finding wrong with what I'm saying. And so one of the reasons I wanted to share this point is because I think a lot of people in the online space, a lot of coaches, a lot of online business people who are in helping professions, they obviously have this deep desire to make people feel seen and heard, or you should do if you're in one of these professions. So because we have that desire, and we also typically as coaches and mentors and healers have a sensitivity for other people's feelings, right? We want to make people feel good. We want to leave people better than we found them. Our whole why, our whole mission is rooted in helping people to make positive change. And so sometimes that sensitivity or that consideration for how other people feel and how heard they feel and how relatable we come across to them, sometimes that can get conflated with pandering to everyone and thinking, but what about all these other people that maybe this doesn't apply to? And it's a nice thing to do in theory, but what it does is it can really dilute what you had to say, especially if you work with a specific kind of person who has a specific belief system or a specific lived experience where they really get the message that you're saying, but maybe someone else doesn't get that message or they don't resonate with that language. Maybe what you're teaching doesn't apply to every fucking human being in the world. And I think we need to normalize again that that is okay. Inclusion, diversity, being educated on other people's lived experiences and the different identities that people hold is very, very important. It's very important to do that work. But what I think can be counterproductive is when we take that to the extreme and then it's like we're not allowed to say anything super directly, or everything we say has to include every single person. And I think that that is a problem because I can't speak to every single person in the world, and neither can you. I can't assume to know how every single person is going to react to certain words, to certain opinions, to certain beliefs. And I'm also, let's just say it, not responsible for how other adults regulate their own emotions and regulate their own reaction and response to me and what I say. So while we can be mindful of other people and we can strive to bring nuance, I love to bring nuance. I think it's so powerful to be able to bring a nuanced perspective to big issues rather than just putting out really big blanket statements without context. But I also believe in being unapologetically expressed. And part of that means that sometimes we are going to have opinions that other people don't like or don't agree with. And I think what makes humanity beautiful is the fact that we have such a rich and diverse way of seeing the world. There are so many perspectives. And so similar to, let's say, a grocery store, when you walk into a grocery store, there are different aisles and there are different products. And some products in the grocery store are not for you. Like if you're a vegan, you're not going to be shopping in the meat aisle. And I don't think that we need to give these crazy explanations for everything or spend hours and hours adding a million caveats or trigger warnings on top of everything. I think we all need to also take personal responsibility and discernment. And when something isn't for you, just like in the grocery store, just keep walking by. If someone isn't actually directly harming you, don't pick up what you're not resonating with or unfollow the person. It's nuanced, but I think that there needs to be more of a balance and less binary thinking than what we're seeing online in terms of how we treat people who have different and polarizing opinions. Number three, you're trying to not offend people or be misunderstood. So we kind of touched into the part around tiptoeing around permanently offended people. I'm not the only one who's thinking this or saying it. Maybe I'm one of the few people who's saying it out loud, but a lot of people are coming to me privately and talking to me about how they feel like everyone is suddenly so fragile and so offended on the internet now. And I mean, there's maybe many reasons for why that has become so intense in recent years. And I won't get fully into that because that's not what this ep is about. But what I am concerned with is how trying not to offend everyone or trying to be understood by every single person and their mother has this huge negative impact on how people use their voice and express themselves. Sometimes the truth is offensive, right? Sometimes the truth is offensive. Sometimes it's hard to hear things that deep down you know are true. And sometimes people trigger us, and then once we regulate and sort of move through those emotions and actually look at like, hey, what's going on beneath the surface here, we realize I'm offended because what they're saying is true, or I'm feeling criticized by this person online or called out because a part of me is also judging that about myself, or a part of me deep down knows this. And so that could be a really beautiful thing, but we don't get to have that experience if we completely diminish our communication style. We completely pussyfoot around what we actually thought but didn't say. And to me, as someone who is committed to authentic communication, I think it's dishonest to not say what I really believe to be true. Now, that doesn't just mean vomiting every single thought that you have onto the internet, because we also want to think, you know, hey, like, how can I be emotionally intelligent with my words around this? How can I consider the person who's listening? How can I consider their humanity? So again, it's nuance, but that's different to how can I avoid saying what I really think and say something else that they want to hear, or say something else so that they don't misunderstand me, or say something different to what I really believe so that people don't come for me, so that people aren't offended. That's a totally different energy, and that's a different situation, and you're saying something completely different and not fully authentic. Number four, you're following unwritten or invisible rules around who you have to be in order to have what you want. Let me give you some examples. You might believe or unconsciously be operating from this idea that in order to have clients, I need to act very professional. Or to be taken seriously, I need to only show this side of my personality. Or perhaps it's something like, I have to be nice and compliant in order for people to think that I'm a good person who's worthy of their trust. Another one, and this is often said in the business world at large, you know that saying that's like, the client is always right. And sometimes the client is not right. Sometimes the client is being unreasonable. Sometimes the client is unhappy because there's been a miscommunication, or they've put you up on a pedestal and then you made a mistake. You know, there's so many situations where perhaps the client isn't right. Perhaps the truth or what's right is somewhere in the middle of what both people are thinking and feeling. So if you believe something like that and then you have a client come to you and they're being really unreasonable or they're crossing your boundaries, perhaps you then believe, well, I have to just let them be right, or I have to just let them cross my boundaries or break these agreements that we have in order for them to think that I'm a good coach, or in order for them to think that I actually care about them. You can care about people and still have your boundaries. So I think it's good to really regularly examine the invisible rules, the things that you think you should do or shouldn't do in order to have what you want. Because often those things are deeply entrenched in limiting beliefs, conditioning, things that we've picked up in our industry or even from our childhood. And we also get to decide, do I want to play by those rules or do I want to create a new rule book or just fuck off the rules altogether? Number five, you're comparing yourself to someone who does what you do or has what you want. So you might be someone who is sharing your voice online. You might be a really established business owner. We all have people that we look up to or we see as expanders, maybe people who have the things that we want or they've achieved the things that we want or they're doing something similar to us. And so we kind of look to them for inspiration or we look to them in the sense of, wow, she's a few years ahead of me and she's done all these things that I want to do. And I just think that she's incredibly expansive, amazing. That can also be a positive thing, but then it can lead into sneaky comparison that then sneakily shows up in how you express yourself. So sometimes if you admire someone so much or they've done so many amazing things that you hope to do, you can put them on a pedestal and then start to believe, well, her way must be the right way. So if she's speaking about this or if they're doing it this way, then that's probably how I should try and do it. And I think this is a slippery slope and a tricky one because, of course, if we want to learn from people or you want to hire a mentor, ideally you're going to work with someone who has experience doing the things that you want to do and does them in a similar way to how you want to do them. So it's not all negative, but what I think we have to watch for is when that comparison has you slowly starting to like morph into the other person a little bit. So notice if you're telling yourself sometimes when you go to open your mouth or create something or express yourself or even how you dress, is this truly me or is this me absorbing this other person's radiance or trying to absorb what they're embodying and almost trying to replicate it? Now, this can be an edgy one to admit because, of course, none of us want to think, hey, I'm trying to copy someone or I'm replicating this person. But it can happen, especially if you've got certain open centers in your human design chart. Like, we can absorb other people's energy. So don't shame yourself for this, but just be aware of when you're getting too enmeshed with other people or putting them so high on a pedestal that it's starting to affect the way that you speak or starting to inform the topics that you do speak to or don't speak to. And maybe just have a practice where you come into your own energy somehow. So that might be muting people on Instagram or having rituals or a meditation session each week where you come into your own creative channel and you just allow yourself to source your inner wisdom instead of outsourcing that permission from others. Now, number six is that you're dealing with perfectionism. So perfectionism can show up in so many sneaky ways. And a lot of times people think perfectionists are people who just want everything neat and perfect all the time. But there are different ways that perfectionism can show up. You might be a hot mess express at home, like maybe you never make your bed and you don't care if the house is clean, but your perfectionism might show up as self-sabotage. So not going for certain opportunities or putting yourself out there because you're afraid that you're not perfect enough to do that or you're not good enough to sit at that table. It might be feeling like you always have to prove yourself. So you have all the evidence in the world that you're really good at what you do. Lots of people agree. People tell you all the time, but you always have this kind of underlying thing of like, I need to prove that I can do more. Another one, online entrepreneurs, course creators, and coaches, you listen up to this one. You want everything you create to be your best piece of work every single time. This is a tricky one, and I'm laughing because this is so me, and I'm always working at it. But when you want everything to be absolutely mind-blowing all of the time, that's different to healthy striving and having high standards of excellence for your work. So not everything is going to be your best piece of work every single time. And your best is going to evolve and change, and maybe it's different on different days. So if everything that you create has to be your absolute best piece of work, you're going to be there re-recording everything. You're going to do an amazing video and then you're going to go, oh, I said the word like too much or arms, so you re-record it. And it just fucks with your flow and you don't get to authentically express and just be exactly where you are and let it be enough. You might spend ages refining things forever and forever and never putting it out there. Or maybe you launch something and it doesn't go amazingly well right away. So you kind of stop the launch. You throw the program you are launching in the bin and you think, I'm going to do something else. And so you don't get a chance to fully express what you had to say in that launch and maybe call in the people who are meant to be in the program, but they just didn't hear enough about it yet. So perfectionism is a huge, huge, huge one. I think I'll do another podcast episode just on perfectionism itself, but also humble little brag slash plug here. We're going to be working really intimately with how perfectionism shows up in online entrepreneurship and how you use your voice in my new program, Burn the Rules. So I'm going to go pop that in the show notes for you. Make sure you get that link. Just go and read the sales page. I went absolutely feral on there. It was an absolute rude finger to my inner perfectionist to make that sales page. And I think it'll give you a laugh and a half. So go check it out. We're going to move on to the next point. So number 7, imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome is a huge fucking barrier to you authentically using your voice, expressing yourself, and doing your soul work in the world. So how imposter syndrome can show up in biz? I mean, in general, it's this feeling of inadequacy or like you're not good enough or that you're a fraud and you'll be found out by people despite all the external evidence to the contrary. So it might sound in your head like, I'm not even good at what I do. I've tricked people into thinking that I'm good at what I do, even though you have the qualifications, you have the testimonials, you had the intuition to do this work in the world. Like, it can be really overwhelming. And it can feel really real, even though logically you might also acknowledge, like, I know that that's not fully real. I know I have these qualifications. I know I have hundreds of testimonials. I know that I'm successful, but I still feel like I'm not worthy, or I still feel like I don't know what I'm talking about, or that I don't deserve to have this success or to have this acclaim. And it's super common amongst entrepreneurs. It's most common amongst successful women. And for me, this showed up and came in like a cyclone in my life after I just crossed 7 figures in my business. I had all the external evidence that I was a badass bitch at what I do. I have so many podcast listeners. I have at this point hundreds of raving testimonials, and I've worked with over 4,000 students around the world at this point. I added it up the other day and it's 4,301 students across my courses and classes. That is insane, right? And so many incredible feedback, emails, messages, like we have so many folders of stuff that just proves how much my work and my expertise and my gifts have really helped to transform people's lives. And even with all that, my inner imposter was like, you're a fraud. No one cares what you have to say. You're going to be found out, you know, and was very scared that I wasn't good at what I did. So I just want to share that to normalize that if you're someone who is a leader, maybe everyone looks up to you already. People think you're super confident. People think you're a badass bitch. You've made tons of money in your business. You've got loads of clients, or you have had in the past, and you're still feeling this way inside. but let's talk about how it might be sneakily showing up for you. So one of the sneakiest ways it can show up is overworking and always needing to do more. Perfectionism will also do that. And these two tango together like wildfire. So are you struggling to switch off? Are you always feeling like you need to do more? That can be a way that your self-expression is not fully actualized or authentically shared in your business or online. Because if you're always coming from that energy of I need to do more, you're coming from scarcity, and that scarcity is going to leak into the kind of things you say, maybe the things that you feel more afraid to say that would actually be really powerful, you know. And if you're overworking, you're also not going to be fully rested and maybe tapped into your most creative essence and channel. And that's very important to your self-expression. Another way it can show up is not valuing your expertise. So maybe this shows up in how much you charge, or how you have a discovery call with someone, or how you share your prices. Maybe when you're on a call, you think that you have to convince the person why you're worth that price. Or maybe you're on the call and you make the price lower because you're too afraid to share it in that moment and to use your voice and to really charge your value. So yeah, it can massively show up in these different ways. It can also show up as not putting your hand up for certain opportunities, maybe not reaching out to go on someone's podcast or for a certain opportunity because you don't feel worthy of using your voice in that way yet, and you don't value your expertise enough. Another way it can show up is letting other people step into the spotlight. Maybe you want to start a podcast, but you're holding back. You know, you've been putting it off for ages. By the way, if that's you, I have the most amazing crash course, and the feedback has been fucking sensational from this course. One woman who took the course live with me told me that she did a podcasting course with one of the most famous podcasters in the world, and she said that my class was way better than theirs. So I was like, thank you very much. That is the best kind of feedback I could ever hear. So do that course. If you're listening to this and you're now inspired to launch your damn podcast, go to my site, go to work with me, and go to the course, Launch the Damn Podcast. Everything you need is in there. There is literally no reason why you couldn't launch your podcast literally tomorrow from that course. And I cover the stuff we're talking about in this episode, as well as the equipment that you need, the sound stuff, the quality, how to promote it, basically absolutely everything you could ever need to know. So continuing on from here around letting others step into the spotlight, maybe you're sitting back quietly observing when you walk into a room instead of putting yourself out there and saying to people like, hey, this is who I am. This is what I do. This is what I'm passionate about. You know, maybe you're not going ahead and doing that big webinar that you've wanted to do for ages because you think that you're not experienced enough, or you don't have enough to say, or you would run out of things to say in, you know, 20 minutes and the webinar is an hour long. So letting others step into the spotlight, or you not stepping into the spotlight, can be a big way that imposter syndrome stops you from fully expressing yourself. Another way that it can show up in biz is overextending yourself or over delivering. So maybe you're bending over backwards for people when really that's outside of your normal boundaries or your true boundaries. Perhaps you're trying to prove how much you know, and so you start way over delivering in your programs because you think people won't see the value, and you just are in that proving energy with your expression and your communication. Maybe you're getting up super late or getting up in the middle of the night to make a call time work for someone or for someone else's time zone, and it's leaving you exhausted when really you should be speaking up and saying no, but you're not expressing that no because you're worried about losing the client, or you're worried that they'll be offended or think that you're selfish. So many different reasons. Yeah, like I said, under perfectionism, self-sabotaging, maybe you're sabotaging projects because they feel scary. You're not replying to that person who's asked to interview you because you're just afraid. You're not preparing your webinar right until the last minute because deep down you're actually really scared of doing the webinar. And so, you know, then you do it last minute, you kind of fudge it. And then if it doesn't go how you want, you say to yourself, see, there I go. I'm right. I'm not very good. I'm not a good speaker. People didn't show up or it didn't go how I wanted. And you just confirm your limiting belief that you already had. So looking at the things that you procrastinate on, that you leave to the last minute, is also something that's worth examining, because maybe there's a sneaky little pattern going on because it feels on some level like it's dangerous to really authentically, unapologetically express yourself and to own your magic and to own your expertise. Number eight, you are creating content or having conversations that are directed at your haters and critics rather than being inspired by your soul people. I did a reel on this the other day, and it was just a passing thought I had. The reel, I was saying something like, something that I notice online is there's a lot of people who create content maybe unconsciously for their haters rather than the people that they're really here to serve. And I was quite surprised because it was just this passing thought, but so many people messaged me and commented and got in touch and said, wow, this really opened my perspective. This was a blind spot of mine. I realized I'm totally doing this. So that was cool that my projector third eye was picking up on what some of you were going through. And I wanted to include it in this episode because I think this can massively change how you express yourself and perhaps limit the authenticity of what you really want to say and what you were really made to say and who you were made to say it to. So it can be really easy, I suppose, if you have critics online, people who are very openly criticizing you, disagreeing with you, hating on you, shaming you, it can be easy to let that get in your head and to almost create content from a place of trying to defend yourself or trying to fight back or trying to prove your haters wrong. And while there might be a moment for that, there's probably moments for that where life is giving you that opportunity of having people who are hating on you to inspire you to share how you're moving through that perhaps, or to give you some kind of story or wisdom that is helpful to share with other people. But even still, if you're creating content like that, it's for the purpose of helping the people that you're here to help. Or maybe it's just sharing, hey, I'm human and I had a day today where I felt really sad because I was going through this and this person was being really nasty to me. But even still, that content isn't for the hater. That content is in the name of vulnerability and authenticity and transparency, showing people your human side, showing people your emotional side. So if you're on the defense, if you're creating content in a moment of being really activated in your nervous system, wanting to fight back against someone who doesn't get you, someone who's twisting your words, if that becomes your main way of expressing yourself, if it's always this defense, you're speaking to the people who you don't even want your clients to be anyway, or you're speaking or trying to prove yourself to people who you wouldn't even take advice from. If you don't agree with online shaming, cancel culture, and bullying, why would you take advice or be wasting a ton of your fucks and energy and your inner peace in this sort of invisible back and forth dialogue with people who you don't even share the same values with? It's redundant, but it's easy to do that. It's easy to get defensive. And we all care to some degree. You know, I talk a lot about not giving a fuck and a no fucks given frequency, and I believe in that, but it doesn't mean that you are just numb and you don't care about anything. things are going to bother you sometimes. People shaming you and really negatively criticizing you, and especially if it's really in your face, that's probably going to affect you somehow. But what I think we can aim for is becoming less bothered by that, and also not giving all our fucks all of the time to what all of the people are saying, you know? So notice when that bother shows up for you. Notice when that disruption inside, feeling like you need to prove these haters wrong, or feeling like you need to prove who you are, that you're a good person, noticing when that arises and seeing if you can sit with the emotions and move through them for a bit before having to like immediately externalize that energy and kind of throw it out into the internet. And that doesn't mean you have to just always wait until you're feeling perfectly wise on the other side of a challenge in order to share, but don't let your entire self-expression be hijacked by people who are not even your soulmate people. You know, it's a distraction from the cool things that you could be sharing with them and the ways you could be helping them. So just be mindful when you are doing that. Number 9, you were taught as a kid that being an outspoken, successful woman is dangerous. This is food for thought, huh? In a way, logically, we all know, like, being successful, being a strong, independent woman is a cool thing. A lot of us really want that. And we think, yeah, amazing, girl power, let's all rise up. But maybe somewhere deep in your subconscious and your psyche, there are beliefs that it is somewhat dangerous or not fully safe to be an outspoken woman. We see that in the way that a lot of women are painted as difficult because they have an opinion or because they have boundaries. I think a really good example is, what's that woman's name? Catherine Heigl. She was that blonde actress in Grey's Anatomy. Now, obviously, I don't know her personally, and I wasn't a fly on the wall in these situations, but I remember that her career basically went down the drain because people started saying that she was very difficult and a bitch. And when I started looking into that more recently, what I believe or what I heard was happening, kind of the other side of the story, was that she was standing up for certain things that were not okay in the workplace that she was in on set. She was standing up and setting boundaries and saying like, hey, these certain things are not okay with me if I'm going to work here. And because she's a woman, of course, that's treated totally differently than if a man was saying it. A man's probably applauded for being quite bullish and quite strong-minded and sure of who he is and sure of his principles and really stating those. And so many of us, even though we feel on some levels like we are outspoken, we are empowered, we have that underlying thing of not wanting to be difficult, not wanting to be seen as a bitch. And then on the other hand, many women are afraid to be too successful or too sexy or too opinionated because they're worried that other women are going to want to tear them down and say, you're too much for me, or I'm jealous of you, I'm going to compete with you, I'm going to put you on a pedestal and then I'm going to drag you off because your success and your beauty and who you are makes me uncomfortable. It makes me feel less. And anyone, especially any women who are raised as good little girls, when given the choice between, do you want to be a good person or do you want to be successful and people are going to hate you and think you're a bad person, subconsciously we're going to choose the good person bucket, because all of us want to feel that need, that need for belonging, that need for acceptance, safety. We all on some level want to be loved and understood. And it really fucking hurts when your happiness and your success is the cause of other people's pain, but also you're not responsible for that. If someone thinks you're too much, they need to go find less, or they need to go and do the inner work to recognize that you having more, you standing in your light, you being successful and powerful does not take something away from them. You are just a mirror of what is going on beneath the surface for them. You can't make someone feel inadequate simply by being your best self, by achieving incredible things. And nor should you have to dim your light because someone else prefers to be in the dark. What's that quote? And it says something like, if they say you shine too bright, tell them to put their sunglasses on or something. I love that. So part of coming into more of an unapologetic, authentic voice and expressing yourself is dealing with the inner child inside of you that doesn't want to make people feel uncomfortable, that doesn't want people to think that you're a bad person, that just wants everyone to understand and love and affirm her. That's not going to always be reality. There are some crazy fucking people in this world. You know, there are people with all sorts of lived experiences, trauma, wild opinions, perspectives, cognitive dissonance. You know, like there's billions of people on this planet. It's a fucking messy soup out there. But you should never have to make yourself less in order to make someone else feel safe. Nobody can make anyone else feel safe. Safety is an inner experience. So doing that inner child work, again, we're going to be doing a lot of this in Burn the Rules. So make sure you go down to that link in the show notes and join our girl gang if you want to be able to hold your inner child powerfully, compassionately in this process and share your motherfucking voice with the world without apology. Let's go to the last, final, 10th point. Sister wounds. My, oh my. We are all walking around with sister wounds, us women, whether you know it or not. If you want a really in-depth conversation and understanding of this, I suggest that you go back a few episodes and, well, it's probably more than a few episodes, but maybe 10, 15 episodes ago, I did an episode with Lexi Sabatino, who is a friend of mine. She's also been my teacher. I've done her Sister Shadow course, which is her program about sisterhood wounding. It is a profound episode, and she goes into so much excellent, excellent detail on how sisterhood wounds show up and repress each of us in different ways. The way that she speaks about it is very refreshing as well, because most people in the spiritual and self-help world just kind of talk about the sister wound as this one monolith, like the sister wound. But the way that Lexi describes it is that we all have a different manifestation of this wound. So for some people, it's competition and scarcity. For other people, it's the wound of betrayal. For some people, it's rejection. For some people, it's inauthenticity. There are all these different ways. And so often we have conflict with other women, or we have fear or wounding towards other women because of our own sister wound. But maybe the woman that we're interacting with has a totally different wound. So she also has a totally different way of hiding that wound, overcompensating for that. And then we butt heads and we don't get each other because our wounds are interfacing rather than our authentic self and our authentic communication. So if you're a female entrepreneur, and especially if you're a female entrepreneur who works with other women, your unresolved sisterhood wounding is absolutely, whether you like it or know it or not, showing up in your female to female relationships. Your sister wound can also include your motherhood wounds, maybe actual wounds that you have if you have biological real sisters, but it can also be childhood wounds. You know, a lot of mine are from when I'm very, very young, and they've just repeatedly showed up in different ways throughout my life and throughout my business, where women betray me or they suddenly turn on me. And if I didn't know that I had that wound, if I didn't know how to work with that, if I hadn't have dissolved some of the charge around those wounds, I would 100% be projecting that unconsciously onto my clients. I would be projecting that onto my audience. I would constantly be waiting for my audience to turn on me or walking around on eggshells. I wouldn't be able to have the open throat chakra. Oops, mic. I'm like moving my hands around and bash the mic with my hands. I wouldn't be able to have such an unfiltered way about me because I would be unconsciously trying to protect myself from having that wound activate or having someone activate that wound inside of me if they didn't like what I said. So sisterhood wounding, especially if you work with women, is so important because this massively affects how real we are, how real we are when we show up with each other, how real we are when we speak online, when we have difficult conversations. You know, some people can't have difficult conversations. It's too much. It feels too intense because this wound has not been addressed. So once you start to work with your sisterhood wound and you start to heal it and you come into healthier relationships with women who are also working on their sisterhood wound, you are going to be able to be way more empowered in your expression. You're not going to be so terrified of having difficult but necessary conversations. You're not going to be so terrified of sharing really powerful, unfiltered messages that deeply help and transform people. And as a result, what your life becomes, what your work becomes, and what you manifest is wildly different. Because what you manifest from a superficial level or an inauthentic version of yourself is going to be different than what you create and cultivate and manifest from an unafraid part of you, from an unafraid version of you that has dared to heal those really painful sisterhood wounds that exist for all of us. So that, losing my words, it's evening, I'm a projector, it's the end of my workday. What I was going to say is that is it. Hope this episode is helpful for you. What I want you to know is that awareness is the first step of any kind of change or transformation. So this episode is primarily rooted in giving you a new awareness, shifting your perspective on how your self-expression wounds show up, the things that are holding you back that maybe you weren't aware of before. But awareness is a necessary step for change, but it is only the first step. So be aware of this stuff, reflect on it, take it into your life, and actually ask yourself, how am I going to take this awareness and do something differently? And I want you to approach this podcast episode, what you've learned today, like you just took a paid class with me that was worth hundreds of dollars. If you just paid hundreds of dollars to... I literally can't speak. My inner perfectionist is like, no. Okay, let me do it again. If you had paid hundreds of dollars for this podcast episode and you wrote all the notes of everything you learned here, what changes would you be inspired and motivated to make starting today? If you're not sure, if you want support, and if you're someone like me that loves to be in a group energy and have the activation where you're bouncing off other women, you have specific steps and challenges and inspiration that you can follow along with, kind of like an energetic kick up the bum, I would absolutely love to have you and Burn the Rules. I would invite you to check out that feral sales page that I wrote. It is quite the laugh. You're going to love it. There's GIFs. There's amazing sayings. There's tons of, you know, fucks on there and shits and assholes and all the curse words. And it's really just going to be a fun read. So go over there. If you want to join us, the link is in the show notes. I would love, love, love to support you. And I will see you in the next episode, my love.